Well, in moving through 2023, as far as the podcast goes, one other thing happened a couple times in 2023. And speaking of Angie watching TV shows, is
warning. The podcast you're about to listen to may contain graphic descriptions of violent assaults, murder, and adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Murder Police Podcast. Goodbye, 2023, and hello, 2024. Welcome back. I'm Wendy.
And I'm David.
Well, David, you know, we've been off the grid for a little bit, and I thought it would be great for us to do an episode to recap what happened in 2023 and let our listeners know what they can expect in 2024.
I agree. I think it's a good idea because we did kind of go quiet for there for a while, but there were a lot of things going on here on the farm and some projects that we've been working on and getting things scheduled. So I know we weren't there with any episodes, but they're coming, and this is a good way to start 2024 out for sure. Before we start that, though, I did want to take a minute to thank all the listeners. I mean, it's incredible how many people have downloaded us in the last 3 years, and we couldn't have this show without you, obviously, in that. It's a hobby for us, but I think we're still pinching ourselves at the popularity that we've gained and the way the audience continues to grow, and that's all over the world. I think
it is.
Crazy.
I mean, when you often tell me of the places that we're charting in, I mean, I'll be honest, I have to look some of the places up because I've never heard of some of them, so... I'm certainly impressed and excited at the same time. And, you know, I think I've had a couple of occurrences where I've been places and maybe have on a Murder Police shirt or talk about it. And someone will mention that they listen to the Murder Police podcast. And then I kind of don't know whether to tell them that we do it or just listen to what they have to say, but they're so excited. And I, you know, obviously I go on and tell them, but it is very exciting that people listen and, it's just literally an idea that you came up with while mowing grass one day.
Yeah, where most of my good ideas come up with, I think so. So, yeah, for sure. I remember when we were in Florida last year and we were at that Cuban bar and we gave that swag out and the woman opened. She goes, I'll subscribe to this. Do you know who does that one? And I'm like, yeah, we do. And so it is crazy. And, you know, when I travel, when I teach, is that I've had several instances where a student in the class where I'm teaching in a state far from here has listened to before, and it's just, it's ironic. And it's also, we're going to talk in a little bit, it's led to some other opportunities and some different exposure that we didn't have before. So that said, if you listen to us, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're new to us and the Murder Police Podcast, then do us a big favor and subscribe on your podcast platform and our YouTube channel and set everything up to download everything automatically so that you don't miss an episode and stick with us. Tons of great stuff coming. Tons of great stuff coming.
Well, why don't we look at the episodes that we published in 2023 and kind of talk about those a little bit and talk about what maybe our listeners can expect in 2024 and kind of maybe talk about some things that happened with us. We've had a couple of losses and a couple of gains as far as our farm animals go. I know we covered a good bit of domestic violence in 2023, and that started with the murder of Todd Schumacher, and that was a four-part series, I do believe, and we brought on Lieutenant Jai Hamilton with the Fayette County Animal Control, right. And she played a vital role in that. And ironically, I kind of scooped Jai up under my wing, and she became our dog trainer, which is one of our new gains in 2024. And she's really just a great person. We went to dinner this past Friday night just to not even talk about dogs, but she played such a great role in that. As well as all of animal control officers do, they're there solely for the purpose of the animal's well-being. And she, I believe, that's how you came to know Jai,
right, through the police department.
Yeah,
and you know, the thing that was interesting in that episode is she brought the awareness of how animals are used as control factors in domestic violence cases. And And you know, it was, we did do quite a few domestic violence cases in 2023, but in the last 3 years, I looked one day at them and thought, wow, too many, right? We know right. That's a major problem. I think I said before that when I was actually investigating homicides, you get so down in the nitty gritty that you're aware you're doing a domestic violence murder, but it's not until you step back as to how many you probably did. And it's reflective in what we're covering. So yeah, Jai was fantastic in that. Rob Wilson really walked us through that case very well. 4 episodes. And again, it's called The Murder of Todd Schumacher. And people need to listen to it, if nothing else, to find out how disappointing the end was. And
it was very disappointing. But, you know, I think also a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you hear domestic violence and you instantly think female. And Todd was a victim of domestic violence. And I think oftentimes we just have in our minds that that's a woman-only offense, if you will. And it certainly wasn't in that case. And it did have a horrible, disgusting ending. And I was very irate for the family of Todd and how that ended. But in between that, we did recap what I refer to as my Angie, my best friend, another domestic murder. If you've not listened to our podcast previously, we covered the murder of Angela Owens Wooldridge, my very best friend of 31 years. If you will recall, that's really the first time we ever took out and took the drone and did an off-site recording. And we went to the cemetery
right.
1 year past Angie's murder. And that was a real, really good YouTube piece for us. That's where
it was a promo.
It was a promo.
Yeah.
And
it's very moving, though, I will say.
It does bring awareness to domestic violence, but also sheds a little bit of light on her story, not entirely. But we did that. And then prior to Angie's murder, literally the month before, we had Lydia Blanche Cassidy in the same town that we live in. Angie was in February and Lydia was in January.
Right.
So 1 month difference. And that was another 4-part series that we covered with her sister, Carolyn Hunley.
Fantastic
and
woman.
It was just so horrifically sad domestic case. And Carolyn is, you know, raising Lydia's children. And so she's really stepped up to be a voice for domestic violence as well.
Well, she's got that organization that they formed called Beehive Strong.
Beehive Strong.
Which is our little
bee that we got.
And there's a ball cap behind you. I don't know if they can see that.
And ball cap.
We'll splash something on the screen with the links if you get a chance to go to the Beehive Strong website. That's going to appear on the YouTube video. It's just Beehive, and it's B as in boy, HIVE, strong.com is to go and maybe support them. And they've got tons of merch that supports the project as well, too. Taking that pain and doing something different with it. That's what's always been remarkable about surviving family members
yes.
is that when they can metabolize that way to work that through. But yeah, that's the murder of Lydia Blanche Cassidy, 4 parts broken down. Carolyn courageously walked us through the madness that her and her family witnessed
yes.
all the way up to Lydia being murdered. And that one had a different ending than Todd Schumacher. We'll just leave it at that.
It had the same ending as Angie's abuser.
Well,
so we moved right from there on into Charlie Sowers. That was a 3-part that we did. A bar owner, family owned or personal owned bar, was murdered, and that was it was solved after 10 years, and that was really
That one was a good one to look at because we had Rob Wilson back, and Rob had talked to us about cold case investigation a couple of years ago, and we ran some episodes on what a cold case is and what it's like to work those, which I think is pretty entertaining and educational for people that think about those all the time. And then Rob brought this one back that had a 10-year wait before they actually put it together. And
so that was really great that they finally did get it solved.
A fascinating case. Moved right into that, back into the world of domestic violence, and a very bizarre case. And that one was the murder of Goldie Massey.
Yeah, we covered 7 parts on that. That was really a very lengthy and really bizarre That was one of the more bizarre ones that we've done because they, and not to spoil it, as you say, but there was only parts of Miss Massey that was found. She was never found in her entirety. And the parts, what I thought was so intriguing is DNA got brought in to realize that that's who that was. But you had only two body parts in two different locations of Kentucky.
That's right. And not all of them have been found. And of course, the best part of that too is we had Chris Coonover back.
Yes.
Chris is a perennial here and does a lot of great work. And we got to bring Steve McCowan in. Who had never been on the show before.
Yeah, he did a really great job. You know what I thought was so neat about Steve is that he had been a deputy coroner before doing this.
That's when I met him, when I was a homicide detective, and he was with the coroner's office.
Yeah, I was like, he was a great guy.
Oh, yeah,
it
was neat to watch him move from that and get on the police department and,
yes.
and quickly usher himself into the homicide unit. He even said he didn't like working patrol, but he was down to get into the investigation section too. So that's another domestic violence murder. And as people listen, they'll put that together too. So the second missing, and we're going to talk more about 2024 on this, is we met Sharon Latham.
Woman.
Beautiful woman. Just like we had started with the missing of Michael Keith Gorley and really got very close and have a strong affection for that family. And I feel the same way about Sharon now. You can't do this without starting to have an affinity for that.
And we met Sharon through the Gorley family.
Exactly, right.
At the picnic, that's how we made that connection, which was really kind of neat.
Sandra Hastie has the vigil.
Sandra has the vigil.
And then
we met Sharon the year prior. My heart breaks for that woman and Sandra as well. Both of them have missing sons.
Right.
And
adult missing sons. Weird circumstances.
Very weird.
And again, that's important too. So that's missing Kevin. His name was K-Jax. So we called it missing Kevin K-Jax Jackson. And that's two episodes. People need to tune in. One, to hear, just like with Michael, to hear who Michael was and to hear who K-Jax is. And maybe to spread the word, get more people listening. Both of those, like a lot of cases and suspicious circumstances are, somebody knows.
Somebody's
got to cough up. Somebody's got to come forward, and it may take pressure from friends or whatever to make that happen. Now, one thing too, when we looked at 2023, because that's not a lot of cases, but there were a lot of episodes.
And yes.
The one other thing we had common in 2023 with every one of these is we had gone into the world of YouTube, just like right now, with multi-camera experience. Now, I'd always
You got so much flashback from me over that. I was so unhappy doing that.
Yeah, because I convinced Wendy it was harder to edit and she couldn't cuss as much, which has made the house quieter and doesn't feel like Sailor Week in New York. So we have always loaded the audio on YouTube.
Yes.
And which is okay because you know what? We did that mainly because I had literally probably three or four people that use that as a player. And I was like, okay, that's not a big deal. We'll load that up. But starting in the beginning of 2023 and now moving forward, if you're watching this, you put it together, it's on YouTube, is that everything we do with, I can't see where it's not doing it, will be on video.
Right.
So you get to see the faces, that hear the people, get a feel for who they are. I wish we had been doing video 3 years ago from day one. But we didn't, but we're there now.
Yeah.
For example, we would have had Ray the DA.
That's the first thing I thought of
exactly.
When you said 3 years
Rest
ago.
In peace.
We had Ray the DA with the Lexington, Kentucky
Commonwealth
attorney. And, you know, we lost Ray a couple of years ago. And Ray was just really a neat guy. And, you know, he has so many hundreds of cases under his belt because he had practiced for years and years. But Ray was just you and Ray, just watching the two of you, it was kind of like a dad and his son.
Yeah,
really.
I'll say this because it was very difficult to lose him. In a lot of ways, Ray, I looked up at him like a lot. And, you know, we met Matt Brotherton and Abigail. Of all things, the other night we went to the retirement party for Dr. Greg Davis.
Who we did an episode
on medical pathology, forensic pathology. And we were talking there too. And the one thing about Ray is that if Ray got to know you and thought of your work ethic and trusted you, you were in. And that, you know, I was blessed to be in. just a lot of good memories. I learned so much from that man. And it's, I will say, it's hard to get around anybody that was in the murder business or anything without Ray's name coming
up. Oh, yeah. Ray was just, he was very well known in what he did. And very well respected, but he was kind of a no nonsense guy.
Yeah,
really, he was.
Oh God, yes, that's just an understatement.
No nonsense.
Understatement.
So yeah, we have like you said, there wasn't a lot of episodes as far as each individual case we covered, but each case we covered had a lot of episodes
and
within it.
They're powerful. They send a message. They lift the victim's name up, which is a goal we have, and they're educational.
Yes,
and I think that's a big thing is. Maybe while we're getting a pretty good following is the authenticity. In fact, people are learning. So that said, if you haven't already, please go to YouTube, find the Murder Police podcast channel and subscribe and load in and start watching us there too. We'd really like to appreciate that. Now, I do want to wrap back around one more time, before we walk out of the episodes and the, not just in 2023, but so many domestic violence ones is to say one more time. That if somebody is in a position where they're concerned about that or have friends, is there's resources out there. And it's a difficult position to be in. I think I'd be remiss or we'd be remiss if we didn't offer one more time, we try to do this, the National Domestic Violence Hotline phone number, which on YouTube will appear on your screen, but that's 1-800-799-7233. Go to the website for the National Domestic Violence a group, tons of ways to report information, tons of ways that if the person that you're in fear of is following your footsteps, that the tipping is anonymous, the communications are anonymous, and they can start working safe plans with you right away to exit and get into a safer environment. Had to do that. I think that's
oh, absolutely. And I think one thing, even though prior to losing Angie, we had covered domestics and you know, you obviously, even though those were right in our town, you never think that they're going to happen to you. And, you know, Angie was kind of not the driving force, but she was really encouraging us to do this podcast because she was a true crime fanatic like I am. And she and I would often watch simultaneously from our homes episodes together and then talk about it on the phone the next day. But, you know, what I've found through Todd and Angie and Lydia Goldie and all the others we've done, it's when they finally have reached that point and they say they're done and that's when tragedy strikes.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that's why it's important to have professional assistance and close support of family to have plans and help people and, who know how to do that.
Yes,
to help you.
And you know, leading up to that, what we know from all of these people, Angie included, is they knew before that tragic event happened, they knew that they, well, like Angie spoke to me that she was done and she was trying to find a way to get out. And he, you know, it was kind of getting bad, but wasn't horrible yet, but she knew she didn't want to be in that situation. But I think oftentimes they, at least with her, they sometimes feel like maybe I'm overreacting. Okay. Well then today he's not so bad. So maybe I was overreacting. Right. But then when you look back at all of it, you realize that was building the whole time. And then when they realize that they simply can't do it anymore, that's when it happens.
Right.
So yeah, people, if you or your friend think that, okay, now it's better today, I hate to say this, but hang on tight. It'll wrap back around.
Sure.
Because those abusers, they do that. They make you feel good tomorrow. And because I think in the back of their mind, they know what's coming. So get out while you can. Don't worry about dignity of having to tell your friends or anyone that it just didn't work and I can't do it no more. Just get out safely, you know, for yourself, your children, whomever's in there with you. Just get out. Male or female.
Right, exactly. Well, in moving through 2023, as far as the podcast goes, one other thing happened a couple times in 2023. And speaking of Angie watching TV shows, is we were interviewed by two different major networks. One of them, I'm not going to name the first one because there's a non-disclosure and we don't know when or if that'll air. But There is another one that I did after we did one, and within 2 weeks we got a call from another producer, and the one that that I did singularly actually aired.
Yeah, last night.
Yeah, last night's night. Contemporaneous.
Well, that's right.
In 3 years, that's going to be sound.
In 3 years, it'll sound stupid, but can we give the date?
January 15th.
January 15th.
But if people, I think what was neat about it was the producers had actually gone through and listened to our podcast of The Murder of Michael Turpin, along with the fantastic production that Erica Friese and the Lexington Pod and Jonathan's her brother and the Lexington podcast do, which is one of my favorite shows and the coolest people in the world. We've had them here in the studio. Yes. They've met Fran. So getting back to it on Investigation Discovery, if anybody wants to go and look this up, because it's action packed full of stars, is it's called Seduced to Slay, mm-hmm. a three ring murder. I think it's season 1, episode 8. And yes. As of now, it's out on demand. And what was neat is they interviewed Fran Root,
who is the lead detective on
exactly.
that.
I mean, to be able to have that present sense of knowledge, they talk at great length with Erica Friese from the Lexington podcast. I smile because she's knocked it out of the park. I'm in there a little bit, a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm in there. And a neat thing, too, that I'd kind of forgot about and didn't know back when I was on the PD is a friend of mine that retired from the police department this in the last 2 years, Danny Fleischer, was a close friend of Michael Turpin.
Yes.
And they interviewed Danny, and it gave it that perspective of what it was like for Danny to lose a very close friend back then. And you can tell it still impacted Danny. So watch for us we'll probably put a social media thing out if Network A, the first one, goes ahead and airs that piece. I think that was a total of 7 hours between the two of us.
Yeah, on the first network that may or may not appear. That was really exciting. You know, I will say that case, can we even tell what it was on?
No,
we can't even tell which episode it was on, but it was one we had covered in the past. And of course, mm-hmm. that's how they found us. But that was really neat to do that. And I guess for me, it kind of made me realize how out there we are because that's how they found us.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's a thing now is that when they're looking for material, which speaking of which is that there's I'm going to be in the very, very near future, meeting with another video producer. So maybe people will see us out and about on something other than YouTube. I know for Investigation Discovery, but kind of a neat thing. Nothing I never would have imagined.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. And then I guess I could go on and say I wouldn't have also imagined you were offering to charge me for your autograph and pictures last night.
It's a business. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, family only goes so far. And
I didn't pay you. I didn't pay you either. I decline
in
pay
other
every
ways.
Day.
Exactly. Well, moving on.
Yeah, moving
speaking
on.
Speaking of pain with my life, here at the farm, I mean, we've shared some things on social media where people have an idea of the big picture is that it's a teeny tiny little hobby farm, and you've taken in rescue miniature horses and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, I love the minis.
Yeah, and that's probably some of the things that happened in 2023. We were talking that we've had some loss, and sadly enough,
we lost two of them, and they both were rescues. We'd had them for 5 years, and ironically, we got the two that we lost. The second one that we lost, he came with his little bonded pair, but we got them first, and then a couple of weeks later, after getting them, that rescue facility asked if we would take on the other one, and we did. And we lost Polly, and that was so sad. And then I guess it was probably a month and a half, 2 months later, we lost Richmond.
The hard part with doing rescue horses like that, minis, is the same thing if you do rescues for dogs or cats.
Yeah.
You usually get them older in life.
Yeah.
And which means you have
they
a limited
were older.
Time.
And so, I mean, for people who are wondering, probably like I would be if I was listening or watching a podcast, well, what happened? And we really don't know. I think it was just they were older. Polly, we knew it had some laminitic events with her feet prior to us getting her. And she, by all accounts, had been really healthy her last few years. But we had noticed her starting the last little bit, losing some weight. And she was, you know, really close to 20, 21 at that time.
And she had come from a rescue where she was
very abused. That was,
so I will say this, one of the joys of that was she never had a bad day here, period.
No.
We even corrected that. She never, never really had a laminitic event. Put her on a dry lot and controlled her diet, and she did good. And then, like you said, I think I was in Oklahoma maybe, and you called and you had found Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond. Paint. Polly was alive when we found her down, and so we had to humanely euthanize her. And then Richmond had already passed. It was just horrific because, you were gone, and I called bawling, and you were like, what? Because it was early in the morning, and you were so confused. And so, it was. Those were two heartbreaking events. And so we still have Casper, and we still have Richmond's counterpart, Ravenna. And then talking about what we brought on while we still had Richmond, I don't know if we had already lost Polly, maybe. You got George, who's not a mini.
He's a quarter
you
horse.
Ride. David, you've turned into a cowboy on us now.
Exactly.
And
I got him from my farrier who used to be a cop, Chris Flannery.
Yeah,
who takes good care of us.
He retired out, and now he does horses' feet and trims them. And
George is a gentleman.
Shall we tell that you had a little horse accident?
Well, I'll put it on video.
Okay, so David had a horse accident. It was no fault of George's.
No, it was rider error.
Totally a rider error.
He made it through a gate opening, and my leg didn't, and I was ejected off. And
had a little ER trip.
Yeah, but it was all fun.
So we've got George. And then we took on Becca. I got Becca. Ironically, we got Becca. She's a German Shepherd, European line, long coat, black and red. And if we thought she'd sit still, we'd bring her down and have her on video. But she would be into everything. Mm-hmm. She's 8 months old now. And ironically, we got her from a lady who, unbeknownst to me, when I found the lady, in addition to her breeding that she does for this line of German Shepherd, she is also an officer in Chattanooga. So yes, we have Becca, who's named after the breeder, Rebecca. And so we've brought on George and Becca. And so we've had our hands kind of full, and you're traveling all the time still.
Well, but this year I've backed off.
You've backed off a little.
I probably was on the road almost in 2023 weekly.
Yes.
Home on a Friday night, maybe a Saturday, back out on a Sunday morning. Which is, as much as I love that, and I do love that, it was too much because that gets in the way of keeping the podcast and some other projects. Not to mention, I still have a family here that you're fun to hang out from time to time with too. So it,
I think I'm fun all the time, but we can call it time to time.
And
whatever.
The horse and the dog. But moving forward with me alternating those weeks and maybe two times a month tops is time is going to get much more better. Now that said, when I'm traveling, we've talked about it before, is that a lot of times I'm getting case hits. And for example, I'm talking to a sheriff in Oklahoma right now that wants to do some unsolves. And whether or not we get those to coordinate or do them quickly, I'm always out running the podcast down.
Yes.
And here we go again. Because of who I am and my background, these people will talk to me. They usually won't work with the media. They're really hesitant about getting with anybody in the lay community or in a podcast or vlogging world at all. But because I have a rapport with them automatically because of what I've done, and we get them involved and it works out good. So that getting it, one of the things is that the production thing will get back in swing. And and we've got some really cool stuff on the way. We've got some cases. I know there's one set of cases that I'm working with Paul Williams on right now. He's pretty much co-producing this. That all I can say is that it will probably occupy a lot of the year. It'll be a serial offender, a very scary serial offender. And it's taken us some time to produce it because it's the moving pieces to get to chronology is going to be set. So we're going to have those. We do have a lot more educational stuff. We do like to mix those in too, with some interviews with prosecutors and some particular things that they want to talk about. I've said before, and I'll get it confirmed up, but I've got two fantastic defense attorneys in this area that have cross-examined me more than once on the stand, but they're good at what they do, and they were willing to come in and talk about defending murder defendants. And particularly, maybe we can ask them questions like what that is emotionally to defend somebody that did it. And I've got some ideas, but because it's commendable work, but we'll have them in. So we'll have that. We have a polygraph operator online that I just need to schedule and come in and talk about what my daughter Brooke used to call a polywog when she was little. But we'll have a polygraph operator come in and talk about what they are and what they aren't, and maybe some of the cases that he's worked on that have moved the ball forward. So even the one I'm really working on that is taking some more scheduling too is there's a friend of mine that works very close here in Richmond that when he was a New York cop, him and his partner actually found out during an investigation of a case that the wrong person on a murder had been imprisoned. And we're going to get him or both of them to come on and talk about what it was like for them as police officers to get him unprisoned, if that makes sense, which is pretty cool stuff, is the idea that, and the story on it is amazing. It wasn't a popular thing to do in a police department, but they found that this person who had been imprisoned didn't belong there because they identified the correct person, and they fought after that to get this person released. So it's a matter of scheduling to get them in. So we have some really neat stuff coming. That said, an invitation we'd like to make is we would really like to go down the road more of doing some unsolves and some missings. Starting here locally in Kentucky probably is the easiest. So we've talked and met people at like Sandra Hastie's vigil before, which comes up in May. We'll try to maybe get some pictures this time to share what that looks like when she has that victim's vigil. But if you are interested in, if you have a missing case or an unsolved or something with suspicious circumstances, don't hesitate to email us at murderpolicepod@gmail.com, and we can start to talk about whether it would be a fit for the show. I think it's a great opportunity for people to talk about family members and loved ones. If nothing else, we can give them a place where they can just talk about who this person was, other than a count or a statistic. And I think that's just super powerful stuff. So missings and suspicious circumstances and unsolves, we would love to work with people. So again, that's murderpolicepod@gmail.com. Shoot us some details and me and or Wendy will get back in touch and we'll work with them and see if we can start producing. I just think it meant a lot for Michael Gorley and KJAX to have that out. And of course, the unsolved case that we covered that made me want to look at more would be the murder of David Kelm here in Lexington and what it was like to sit down with his mother and his sister. And again, to hear who David is.
Well, and ironically, you know, we often talk about how things with murders or different cases somehow sometimes intertwine with others. And ironically, new listeners, Angie, my friend that was murdered, was married to David. And so it really came full circle in that, you know, I remember getting the phone call from Angie when she, and they were divorced, of course, at that time. But when she found out that David had been murdered, which, as you said, is still unsolved years later. And then they had two children in common and are together. And just to know that both of those children lost their parents, both their parents,
exactly,
to murder.
Right.
And so, yeah, you're right. I hope that we can. Jessica, like any mom, deals with this. Not that his sister doesn't, but that is so hard on Jessica every day.
Right.
She makes a post about that. And I mean, we've talked to her one-on-one and we know what she's going through. She just wants answers.
Which everybody wants.
Yes.
And again, I think it certainly didn't help them get over anything, but I think it probably felt pretty good to know that out there in the internet that who David is real now.
Yes.
And that when people hear it, it's not a blurb in the news or a number on a UCR or Uniform Crime Report or anything like that, that he's truly a good person.
He was a really great person, and he and Angie had been high school sweethearts and had married for quite a while before they parted ways. But, you know, not only does Jessica deserve answers, but somebody, again, knows who did this, somebody needs to pay for that crime.
Amen. I think that's a pretty good list of where we're going. And,
yeah.
And there's tons of other stuff that we're going to work out. One other thing to watch for, too, is that we're going to try to pick up the pace on social media. That's one of those things that I know we need to do, and I'm not in there as often as I should. And one thing that that we're going to work on is the audience might start seeing more short reels or short video things, and we might start popping on the air with smaller episodes to talk about things that are going on right now, and to get the dialogue and to maybe talk about what the possibilities are in these cases, not trying to solve them or anything, but maybe tickle everybody's critical thinking bone a little bit. I think there's an educational part. So we be watching for that. Is that another good reason to be following us on Facebook and Instagram and sign up on YouTube. We tinker and TikTok a little. I tinker with TikTok a little in and out. So maybe there too. I'm not as committed to it as the other ones, but that's one thing we want people to do for sure is to follow us on those social media sites and go to murderpolicepodcast.com and sign up at the email subscription list. Tons of stuff coming up there too. Not to mention the merchandise store that we have where you can get swag. And the cool thing about that is a percentage of everything you buy for us gets donated to the DNA Doe Project, which you can go back in our catalog and listen to the episodes on the fantastic work that the DNA Doe Project hands off. One last thing coming in 2024 is one of the reasons that we were in the dark a little bit is I've been writing a book, and the book is probably going to publish late spring, early summer. And I'm not going to go into detail. It's in an editor's hands right now. You've watched me banging away at it and talking about banging away at it. But the book is going to really start a discussion about true crime and detective work and stuff. And I'm not going to go any deeper there.
I thought you were going to tell them that it was like love professions for me.
Well, there's one of those in there. Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, but you went the crime route, which is fine.
Right.
You are writing a book. You've been really working hard at
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So
you've been at it for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the early spring last year,
I've actually,
on our front porch typing away.
Well, but I was actually going slow, but I've kind of put a fire in my butt. So I have an editor now. I'm getting ready to do the rest stages. Getting back to it is that when that's ready to go, is that I'll offer some significant access and discounts to people who listen to us recently. I think they're going to enjoy it, or I wouldn't be bothering writing it. So that's another thing to look for that you'll see through the podcast and get advertised through the podcast.
And I would like to say one of your, I guess, motivators for that was another former officer and friend, Scott Harvey.
Yes, for sure.
Because he wrote a book. Right. Do you want to talk about his book for a little bit?
Well, no, yeah, we will. Scott Harvey, I'm in a mastermind with Scott, and that's been a mentor for me too. Scott is a retired police officer. He's a hostage negotiator. He has a fantastic podcast on self-development and entrepreneurship called Speaking of Harvey. And his book, by the way, is called Silence Kills. Just like it sounds, Silence Kills. It's on Amazon. It's a communication book written for people like you and me. And,
yes.
And he's amazing.
And we've had him on here. He actually interviewed us.
Exactly.
On like a episode zero of Who Are We?
Right. The episode zero that we didn't make for about 2 years, right?
We didn't. But he said we need to do it, and we did. Yeah. And he interviewed us, and he's got a great radio voice.
Oh, yes, he does.
He really does.
Well, he's a professional speaker, too. So
I mean, he's just great. Scott, if you're listening, you're great.
Yeah. So Speaking of Harvey is his podcast, and Silence Kills is his book, and he does a fantastic job with that. A mentor of mine in that aspect as well. Can you think of anything else for 2020?
I can't. Just tune in and listen. Sorry that we've been a little dark, but you know, David over here has been extremely busy while I've been holding down the fort, take care of animals, etc.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So yes, I'm looking forward to I'm definitely looking forward to the more unsolved and more missing. Just because my heart really goes out to those families.
Same here.
You know, they just, I think it makes them feel really good to talk. You know, it was really hard doing, when we met with Kevin's mother, you know, she got teary at times. She
sure.
did good, but you know, it was almost very hard. But then you could see how proud she was speaking of him because he had overcome some things and really just, you know, I guess all I can say is I'm just excited for that. And then of course the murder cases, cause you know, that's what I love.
Tons
and I
of
love
those
listening
coming.
To.
Tons
so, thank you to our listeners. If you're new, please go back, start at the beginning and listen. I'm maybe a little biased, but I think we've got some great episodes and very intriguing cases. And, you know, if you are new, we are different from others in that we bring on the actual detective that worked that. And I'm not saying no other podcast does that, because maybe they do.
There's a few.
You know, I'm not a real avid podcast listener,
it's authentic. And
again, yeah, it is. And when you're sitting in the room with the detective and I get to look over at that detective and say, well, what were you doing when you got this call? Because, you know, I love every little detail.
Right.
And he may say, we were opening presents. It was Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of lends credence to, he's just a regular guy like we are. Then he's out there solving these murders. And you look at him on one hand like he's average. And then at the end of the podcast, you know, I'm usually sitting there going, wow, he's really amazing.
Oh.
You know, and I think that speaks for all law enforcement.
Well, that's it. That's opinion. The whole gist of the podcast is true crime, real detectives.
Yeah, real detectives.
Without further to do, as Jasper used to say,
yes,
is take care. Thanks for listening.
And thank you for listening.
Tell your friends, share us, and
get your swag.
Exactly.
Murder Police Podcast swag.
Excellent. Take care.
Thanks.
The Murder Police Podcast is hosted by Wendy and David Lyons and was created to honor the lives of crime victims, so their names are never forgotten. It is produced, recorded, and edited by David Lyons. The Murder Police Podcast can be found on your favorite Apple or Android podcast platform, as well as at murderpolicepodcast.com, where you will find show notes, transcripts, information about our presenters, and a link to the official Murder Police Podcast merch store, where you can purchase a huge variety of Murder Police Podcast swag. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, which is closed caption for those that are hearing impaired. Just search for the Murder Police Podcast and you will find us. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe for more and give us 5 stars and a written review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your podcasts. Make sure you set your player to automatically download new episodes so you get the new ones as soon as they drop. And please tell your friends.
Lock it down, Judy.